Radio. About to commence. Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's a rainy April 12th. What can you say? April showers bring May flowers. Okay, I've had enough. I think we're already up to the top of the dam. We're supposed to get, what, almost, I guess, an inch of rain today, maybe 2 inches in some places. Well, that's the way it goes. Hey, I'm joined in here in our magnificent studio by Bad Bob.
Good morning.
So, Bad Bob, we're going to talk a little bit about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes today.
Fabulous event. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
And then speaking of fabulous, here she is, the fabulous Linda Bott.
Good morning. You are listening to KCNR. This is 1460 Clearly News Talk Radio. Taking your calls this morning, 605-4567, for those of you who attended Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. It's currently 46 degrees out today. It is, my gosh, it's 7:07. Promise we're going to start bringing that time in to you at the top of the hour. Got an email from a lovely email from a listener. And we get going sometimes, forget to tell you what the time is. And when you turn your radio on and you want to hear what we're saying, we always want to tell you what's going on with the weather and the time. It's kind of Radio 101 sometimes that we space over because we've got such an agenda, not an agenda, but so many wonderful things to share with you. By the way, to give you the forecast, there will be a chance of showers today, then showers likely, and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. You know, it's one of those things when I moved to town, it rained for 4 months.
Well, you know, the weather rock is wet.
The weather rock is.
The weather rock is telling me it's raining.
You have blisters on your toes.
Okay, let's talk about that. Walk a mile in her shoes. You know, you know what? First of all, thank you, Redding. Thank you very much for all the, you know, we didn't go out there heavy for, or, you know, go door to door for donations for the Walk a Mile in her shoes. But, gosh, you know, people calling in, people walking in that day and dropping off checks and cash and, you know, what can I say except, you know, thank you so much, Redding.
Can we say that the goal was $250?
Yeah, we can say that. Almost
just from very generous donations. And you know what can I say, Carl? My hat's off to you. Many people were really surprised. There you were with your biker vest on with your Marine Corps emblems and some of the wonderful things in the back. And you had the Mae West hat on.
It was a...
That Jerry said from NorCal, I'll donate $100 if you wear a feather hat. You sported pearls and a boa.
That was from Media Plus.
The pearls and the boa was from Jerry. And then you clicked your heels and said, there's no place like home helpers. You had people that came up, just like you said, off the street, wrote checks, all for the Women's Refuge. And
John and Martha.
Our next-door neighbors came in and just... generously donated money.
Friday show. Yeah.
But I think the total was...
It wasn't about that. I think it was like $30,000. Not for me, but for the whole thing.
Yes.
I think that's good. And but like 150 men and boys participated in this. And I tell you, this is the first time. And the only thing I can picture is as we were leaving the promenade and taking that right turn, heading down the street, as people were probably, you know, as they come off the freeway maybe to come in and get something to eat or get gas, and they're driving out, and they saw us as we were walking out, just what exactly ran through their heads. And it may not have been readiness, but a friendly place.
There were dogs. The dogs had little garter belts on, and you had, wives were walking with their husbands. But there was one guy that was in front of us that I just couldn't believe it. He had his kid, what was it, about a two-year-old and a six-month-old. So it's probably his six-month-old was on his back, and he was walking this two-year-old who also had little white patent leather shoes on. And then finally, the two-year-old-ish says, Daddy, so here he's carrying his son, and he had black spike. We're not talking the flat, clunky heels. He had black spike heels on and a baseball cap and jeans, and he was just walking, and that guy walked, didn't miss a beat, carrying these two kids.
And you know who? But you know who has to be the prize winner for yesterday? Orville out of Channel 7.
Saturday.
On Saturday. Orville out of Channel 7 comes in as a cheetah lookalike, and with high heels, high red stiletto heels, and wore it the whole time, I think, in pink. It was quite an event. You know, if you somehow missed that.
He had a skirt on.
And a skirt, oh, yeah. I said something about waxing his legs. He said, no, he can only take this so far. Anyway, World War, hats off to you. Hey, we're going to come back. There's a bunch of other things also that are going on we want to talk about, too. This is the kickoff of Cool April Nights this week. We've got people from Cool April Nights on our show every day this week to talk about what's going on, what we can see, you know, where you should be going to. And let's not let the weather slow us down. This is Cool April Nights. This is a great event for the North State. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Boomer Tech.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Lindebaugh, and our phone lines here are 605-4567. You know, it's just going to be a week of this.
Yeah, and it begins. It's 46 degrees today, and it likely showers. Well, it is showering now. The time is 7:14.
It's more than likely, my love.
It's more than likely, but it is likely because it's likely right now. It's happening.
It's happening.
Hey, you know something that's in the news? I know we're going to get going here on some good juice that you've got going on, but something that they've just discovered.
Tell me it's got nothing to do with Father Barbie. I'm still getting comments on Reverend Barbie.
Reverend Barbie. And we need to go buy a Reverend Barbie because I'm sure it will be a...
right after I buy
it. Look it up.
That Springfield.
You know what the Japanese have that the Americans don't?
Okay, the obvious thing.
Well,
they live on little islands.
No. A special gut bacteria with the gene that allows them to digest a specific kind of carbohydrate found only in seaweed.
Is this something they have? I mean, this is in
this
their
is,
body?
This is from the researchers at the National Center of Scientific Research in Roscoff, France, found that the bacteria carries a gene for making a very specialized carbohydrate digesting enzyme. It can break down polysaccharide, a class of complex carbohydrates called forgive me if I'm not saying this, porphyrin, found in the purple algae of the genus Porphyria. We call it lavender in English, but in Japan it's made into sheets of nori, which wrap sushi.
And? So they have something in their body that breaks this down?
Yeah.
Or you can take something that breaks it down.
They found that the genes for making the enzyme occurred not just in other marine bacteria, but also in bacteria called bacteroids, Plebeius, found in the human gut.
Wow. You know, I wonder if they have something like that up here in Redding, that's found in the Redding, the typical Redding gut. You know, maybe it would be Americanus.
Iron gut.
Donutus, or something like that.
Oh,
okay,
please.
You know, let's talk about something important here, trap shooting. You know, last Thursday, I went trap shooting. I go out and go out to Reading Gun Club, and I shoot on a team out there. And great bunch of guys to shoot with, Jim, Son, Patrick, and everybody, Robert. And the thing about it is that last Thursday when we went out there, the wind was blowing. The wind was blowing, and it was cold. Now, never have so many men shot so many times and missed so many of those little clay pigeons, except the team in front of us, who missed even more than we did. If there's something to say about trap shooting, first of all, you enjoy the people you're with, and you enjoy the shooting. But when the wind's blowing really hard, and it appears that those little clay pigeons are on elevators that are going up and down, it just kind of takes a little something out of the game. But for Thursday evenings, can't think of a better thing to do. All right, one last thing we went to over the weekend. Fundraiser at Big Field Dreams. It was for Simpson University, and you know we had one of the reps on here last week to talk about what they were doing. You know, and what they're doing is Yuba City had a stadium, seats like 800, 900 people. They were willing to give it to Simpson, or give it to a group of people, and Simpson donated the property out there. And what a great deal this is going to be for the city. This is going to be like a real big league field. And they've got plans for it that it's not just for Simpson University. It's for baseball camps. It's for our teams here to try and pull a semi-pro team into here. And there was what, honey? How many would you say? 500 people there?
Mm-hmm.
Easily 500 people at Simpson University. And the thing about it is that Mike Magnus out of Channel 7 started this thing off, and he was supposed to give the benediction. But what he ended up doing was giving kind of like a little speech about baseball and his love for baseball. And I tell you, it was probably one of the finest speeches I've heard on baseball, and how a boy was brought by his father to a baseball stadium. And anyway, it was set off the whole evening very well.
Well, it reminded you, for you told me later that it really, what it did is it brought back a memory. His memory brought back, his sharing of his memory brought back a memory of your first time going to a professional ball game with your father.
Yeah, my father took me to see the St. Louis Cardinals play, of course, in St. Louis. See Stan Musial play back in the 50s, and I remember walking into the stadium and remember how green the grass was, and you can hear when they're taking batting practice, you know, the sounds of the ball and the bat. I still remember that, and I remember what a great day that was. And here it is that they're bringing the stadium in here. It's not going to be cheap. They've raised a lot of money, but for phase one, which gets everything in there,
they still need about $400,000.
$400,000, right?
And they're going to break ground. They have the land. They just have to go through phase one.
Yeah, contractors are volunteering time and equipment. And get this, Shasta College is volunteering their heavy equipment group there to come on over and clear the land. Which is, you know, it serves two purposes. It serves a purpose for that. Plus, clearing the land, but it also gives the Shasta heavy equipment class lots of practice. So, anyway, it's a great effort. I urge you to check this out online with Simpson University.
Yeah, it was a great night. Currently 7:20 in the morning. It's 46 degrees. We have some guests that have arrived in the studio. We're just going to be, you know what, there's going to be a minutia of people coming through today. Is that the correct word, Bob?
Plethora.
So minutia, describe, tiny. I was reading too many biology words just then. Oh, gosh, it's Monday morning. What can I tell you? 605-4567. Hey, what did you think about the front page of the Record Searchlight? Not just the whole front, the front section completely. All about the tea parties, the Bostonian versus the Reading Tea Party, and all of the above. I mean, it's not versus, although they are trying to make it into versus, because you know what it's all about. It's just showing up, and there is a common cause here. But want to know how you feel about that. Give us a call this morning, 605-4567. We've got to take a break. Carla Lindebaum here on KCNR. As a plethora has arrived. See you in a minute.
Welcome. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebaum. It's a rainy Monday on April 12th. It's 7:25, 24:25, depending on where you're at. Hey, Cypress Square Barbershop down on the Cypress Square.
You ringing the bell?
I'm ringing the bell. It's on Athens Avenue. DC Tim and the mysterious haircutter. You want to get your hair cut? They're barbers. They are not stylists. They're barbers. They give great haircuts. They use the lather around the neck. Great conversation. And you will not find pedicures or manicures there. You won't find styling gel. You won't find hair dryers. They're barbers. And you know what, men? It's man's last stronghold. If you don't believe me, just look at the sign on the window when you walk in. Anyway, Cypress Square Barbershop. It's a great place. I go there. They give great haircuts and great prices. Tea parties. And, you know, the weekend, I happened to see Silas Lyons the other day some kind of a media thing, but it was for the Asphalt Cowboys getting ready to kick off the big rodeo season and everything. And he said that they were going to be doing something on the tea parties. Well, and so the whole front page was tea parties yesterday. And by the way, the paper... the newspaper, the Record Searchlight, I like it. I like the new design. It's different. It's and I realize for some people the print might be a little bit small, but all in all, I think that the paper looks pretty good. What do you think?
Forget about the comments. I'm reading the comments.
On what?
All about the Tea Party. There was how many different segments over the weekend?
And if you see, what happens was the Tea Party. There's two different groups, and both of the leaders of the Tea Party, by the way, Greg Mann and Aaron Ryan will be on show this week. Greg's on tomorrow, and Aaron will be later on this week to discuss the organizations and the events that they have coming up. And what it appears, you know, the Tea Party started last year. It was, I believe it was the Bostonian Tea Party. We helped them. We like to think that we helped them get off the ground. There's many other people, of course, that did too. And just in the sense that it seemed to me, and it seemed to Linda, that these are people that were wanting to get involved in government. And I guess it was last January, February that they first started, and it culminated in the April 15th, the walk across the Sundial Bridge. Now, if you were there, it was quite an event. The the Record Searchlight, for some reason, you know, back then said, there's a couple hundred people there. Well, obviously they did not take their shoes off when they were counting, because it was well over 1,000 people, probably a couple of thousand, if not more. And even today, the Record Searchlight says around 1,000 people. I know it was tough to admit you were wrong, Record Searchlight, but you are. There was at least 2,000 people there when you looked at it. And going across the bridge was exciting, because I don't know if the bridge was supposed to have that many people on it at one time. In any case, again, on April 15th, on Tax Day, Tea Party groups are having their say about taking the government back for the people. And it's gotten to be, the movement has gotten to be very large, but I think a part of its strength is it's not that focused, in the sense that it doesn't have national leaders, that they're not, you know, there's people not buying into it in the sense of paying dues and et cetera, et cetera. The fact is that the Tea Party is a grassroots movement, and many of the commentators from the main media have realized what a mistake they made. I heard Anderson Cooper say that, is that he was one of the chief denigrators, said how he had misunderstood it and how he didn't realize the strength of this movement. So this is going to be a big week, not only for Cool April Nights, but also for the Tea Parties, and for anybody that cares about what's going on in the government. And by the way, I think it was Friday was the last day. Last Friday was the last day you worked for the government and paying taxes. January, February, March, into April. Every cent you made went to the government. I mean, if you look at it that way. We come back, we're going to be talking about film festivals. We're going to be talking about Show and Shines, Cool April Nights. We're going to have the head of the Cool April Night organization is going to be here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, 729, and it's 43 degrees. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460.
Currently 7:33 in the morning, 46 degrees. Showers, likely thunderstorms a little bit later. We talked about a plethora of people coming in. First of all, we had our Purple Heart friend Bill Phelan that came in, and Carl and I are going to be sponsoring a hole for the Purple Heart golf tournament, which is happening on the
21st.
21st of April, and I think you might be playing that.
I'm going to go check that date on that, too, to make sure about that. No,
I think it's the 17th.
I think you're right. I think it is the 17th.
That's in the daytime, but there's something else that's happening on the 17th, which is we have so many things coming this week with the Cool April Nights, and guess what else is happening that is for those film buffs. For those people, I mean, we've had our own Sundial Film Festival here with just outrageous support from our community. What a beautiful place to have a film festival, and you're on a world tour. And this morning we're talking in our studio right now. We have John Palmer. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. We're great.
And Mike Lynch is here, too.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi. Fine. Thanks for being here.
And you're here to talk about the Banff Mountain Film Festival World Tour.
That's correct. Banff is it's a great film festival. We got involved with about 2 years ago with a group of members that we've got. We've grown a lot in the last 2 years. Right now I've got my other colleague and member of our Reading Independent Film and Television team that's helped bringing the Banff Mountain Film Festival to the Cascade Theater on April 17th at 7 o'clock. Mike Lynch is also here with me. Just a little bit about Banff Mountain Film Festival and what it is every year Banff Mountain Film Festival up in Canada, they put on this book and film festival. And every year they go on and they put on a world tour and also other small film tours around the United States as well as in different countries as well. So it's very internationally renowned. We have great films. I mean, just amazing films that you're going to see over the course of Saturday night. We've got films such as snowboarding, skiing, free climbing. It ranges in such variety.
One of the films we have a guy who is climbing the face of Half Dome.
Wow.
Without a rope, and he's got a pair of khaki shorts on and a Royal Robbins button-up T-shirt. And he starts out in the morning and finishes before night.
So he's just free climbing the whole way.
Free climbing the whole way without a rope. And they introduce this guy, and you get to know, it's actually a kid. I mean, he lives out of the back of his van. And, you know, one of the great things about this festival, as we screened these films, is you really learn something. It's not just going and watching extreme sports, but you come out of there really changed in some way, because there's emotion involved, there's risk, there's so much human emotion involved in these films, and there's such a variety of films that you can see Saturday night.
Well, it says National Geographic and the North Face. Tell us about how you got involved with National Geographic. I mean, it's a perfect fit, obviously, but tell us the history there.
Well, National Geographic is a national sponsor. So, the Banff Film Festival, as John said, they put on a 9-day festival in October, November in Banff, Canada, and then they tour these films. So they always capture major sponsors that help these films tour around the country and around the world. And so National Geographic is just one of the main sponsors that's assisting bringing the film to Reading.
That's fabulous. When you talk about a world tour, how many places will you, I mean, how many cities or how many locations do you go to, the two of you?
Oh, personally, we just deal with the local side here in Reading.
Okay.
As a whole, as an international film festival, Banff goes, I believe it's to 20 different countries.
Okay, well, John, tell us about your history. You're a Reading guide. Who are you?
Well, I got involved with this with a few members that aren't here today. We actually had Mike come in this year. And he's been a great help to our nonprofit team that we've kind of put together. We're just a bunch of young entrepreneurs that we want to just get out in the community, bring something new, something cultural to our community, and in the process help certain community projects here in the North State.
All right. Well, you've got it's all sports oriented.
Yes. Well, this film festival is
yes.
Not everything in the film festival actually. Is centered around mountain sports, but it has to do with mountain culture and sports. So a lot of the videos that we're going to be showing at the film festival are going to be sports oriented, though.
So
what we chose.
So are you a extreme kind of guy here?
I wouldn't say I'm too extreme.
I mean that with the big X, you know.
Yeah, I would say John is extreme. Yeah.
Oh, it's John extreme. So you go off these, you know, like 60 feet down into the water in your kayak, and you underwater for 12 minutes, and you come up.
Not at all. I actually, all the proceeds for this event are going to the Reading swim team. I'm an old Reading swim team member from years back.
Now, from what I understand, we've got some potential. We've got a couple potential swimmers that could be Olympic caliber. Is that right?
You know, my daughter swims on the Reading swim team. My wife's on the board of the team, and we just came back from the Far Western Championships down in Morgan Hill, and we had a couple of which is the championships for really most of the Western teams. There was teams from Oklahoma, there was teams from Hawaii there, and we had a one swimmer win an event One of our male swimmers actually won the 100 free, and we had other swimmers from 11, 12 to 13, 14 age group actually make finals. So, you know, we've really got some potential swimmers. We have a swimmer right now, Joey Wasco, who is swimming for ASU, a Division I school.
That's great. Wow. You know, we're going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about these films. Because, you know, the part that I always like is you got this kid lives in the back of his van. He's climbing this all the way up, and he's showing his face. And he's showing, gosh, look how much, you know, he's breaking no rope. Who's filming this?
That's a good question.
That's what I always say. You know, you see the guy climbing, but there's somebody else on the other side
of
that camera.
And, yeah, somebody's on the side of the camera carrying all the camera equipment and chalked in, has to get up front, and then, you know, puts his chalks in, locks, and he gets him coming up, right?
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Ginger did it running backwards on high heels. You know, so we've got some guy carrying 100 pounds. Okay, there's not 100 pounds of camera anymore, but it used to be a lot. And you would see these where somebody would be climbing. And I mean, oh, my God. And then they'd show the whole shot. And this other guy's hanging off, you know, with the camera.
And you know, the guy probably is carrying 100 pounds. He's got a rope up there, and it takes him an hour to get where this guy's getting in 5 minutes.
And then he's got to move his way up.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Carl Endebot, Free Fire Radio. Join us when we get back. We're going to be talking the Banff Film Fest. We're going to be talking extreme sports here. And this is a big week. It's a big week for Reading. We've got film festivals, we've got golf tournaments, and we've got cool April nights. Join us after these messages.
Attention.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's April 12th. It's raining.
7:44 in the morning. Currently 46 degrees. There's going to be thunderstorms later on today. Actually, those are predicted. 6054567. That is our hotline here. We are with the guys from the Banff Film Festival. This is so exciting, and we're going to give away two tickets. We have John Palmer and Mike Lynch here, but we're going to give two tickets away. And the show, they're showing the films this Saturday. Let's talk about the films again. You were talking about a guy on a unicycle that skis.
Actually, he does mountain biking on a unicycle. He balances on stumps. He goes down hills. He goes up hills, over jumps. He's just amazing.
So I guess I was like thinking skiing, and then went, you know, flipped over to the mountain unicycling on boulders.
This person has too much time on his hands.
and great balance.
You know, where's that guy from?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. He is pretty world renowned. You can YouTube the guy. If you just type in unicycles, I'm sure he'll come up. He's one of them.
Okay. Tell us about some of the other films in the program.
Well, we also have another a downhill mountain biking film called Cranked, and it's absolutely incredible. They have some of the most beautiful scenery. These guys are going through just landscapes that you just can't believe. I think a lot of the film is shot up in Whistler, so. You've got great, great high-flying shots, and I mean, I think what are some of the other videos we got?
Some people may have seen this video on YouTube. It's kind of traveled around emails where a guy builds this huge slip and slide, and he's got a wetsuit and a helmet on, and he launches off this slide into a 12-foot Walmart Dobo-type pool. Well, there's a film on how he does this. And a lot of people have rumored that, oh, it's not real. It's real. You got to see how this guy builds this slide, how he plans it.
Is this the one from Germany or something?
Yes, I believe it is. It's actually, the title of the film is called Mega Whoosh.
Yeah, so. You know, I'd heard that
Mega Whoosh!
I've seen that, but I didn't think it was real.
This film is how he does it.
It is
so
real.
It's real, and it's the last film, so you got to stay the whole time to see it.
Well, I tell you what, it's the last time I'd ever do something like that. The guy launches himself 100 feet into a 12-foot pool.
The one Will Wonder's name is Chris Holm. And
yes, correct? That's correct.
Okay, Chris Holm, and they brought in a magazine, the guys this morning, One Will Wonder. If you could only see this guy in his unicycle on a boulder, on a boulder out by the lake. And one of the captions is, I got better at writing. It became a form of self-expression because I discovered that I could put my creativity into my style and into my writing. So I think that probably captures or encapsulates what we're talking about here as far as what this film festival is about.
That's correct. I mean, it's just amazing. Banff is great about just inspiring and letting the individual be creative. For whatever films it's going to be, you know, a lot of these that we're showing here are going to be sports-oriented films. But I mean, there are other things, other topics that they allow them that, you know, these filmmakers to cover. I mean, from cultural things to social issues. I mean, just anything.
Well, you know, at the Sundial Film Festival, we had a they had an extreme section of it where they had people doing the kayaking, coming off the high jumps and that. And this seems like part, you know, some of these films would fit right into that.
So about how many films again?
You know, we've got 2 hours of films, and they range anywhere from, I think the longest one's 45 minutes, and then we have, for instance, a 10-minute snow skiing film, amazing cinematography that was made out of Japan. So it's 2 hours. I think we've got about 6 or 7 films, and there's an hour intermission. And we're also giving away raffle prizes. So your ticket actually gives you an opportunity to win prizes that were donated by local businesses. For instance, Fleet Feet donated a $300 tri-swim open water wetsuit.
Wow.
Sports LTD has donated some equipment. Don't we have a bike donated by somebody?
We have a bike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've got some other prizes. And also the main sponsors will bring prizes as well that they'll raffle off.
So, Mike, we understand that you were president of the Rotary in Anderson.
Anderson Rotary,
are you going to
yes.
get fined for that?
Not since I mentioned the fact that I am president of Anderson Rotary on the radio, and what a great organization that we do have.
Oh, you do. You
and,
do.
And you do a trap shooting, too, huh?
We do. Carl, you're more than welcome to come out to our Wednesday night meetings. We trap shoot out at the Haas Ranch, and we have a great time.
Yeah, I think somebody has mentioned that before. Now, this is a great. This is for a great fundraiser. It's for the swim team here.
Yes, that's correct.
And that was and every year when you have this, you pick a different group or a different
nonprofit,
not different nonprofit to help.
Okay, guys, these are $20 value tickets. National Geographic and the North Face present the Banff Mountain Film Festival World Tour. That's April 17th, 7 p.m. Two tickets for the first caller at 605-4567. We'd love to give those two tickets, and we're going to be giving some away this whole week. But
we're going to give away two a day.
Eight. That's correct. And do you have any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
You know, one thing I'd like to say is if you buy the tickets early to $15, they're $20 at the door. You can buy tickets at Sports LTD. You can buy tickets at Fleet Feet Sports in Reading, and you can also buy tickets at the Yogurt Place in Anderson.
Toppings. And if you have any other additional information, you can always visit our website. It's readingfilm.com.
That's www.readingfilm.com.
And we're also on Facebook, so become a fan.
That's right. It says find us on Facebook. You know, I've always been fascinated with extreme sports. My girlfriend teaches yoga, and there's a guy in her class that I see on a regular basis, and she said, no, he's the kind of guy that jumps off the cliff with the kayak.
Oh, yeah. We got one of those films in there. I think it's a 20-minute film.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, like you were saying, underwater for 15 minutes. I mean, this is like hardcore. And they live for this stuff. So, I mean, you know, I have to think about, again, I would come just to see the guy on the unicycle, you know, bouncing around boulders. Because where do you go in order to get your creative input, your fix? And,
that's right.
And tell me something. Weren't the Olympics? The Olympics kind of had a little bit of hardcore stuff going
on
this year.
Absolutely. Ever since they introduced those downhill snowboarding events and half-pipe events, it's just
amazing.
Yeah. Well, we've given away the tickets. We've had the phone call already, so we will be giving two more away tomorrow.
And thank you, John Palmer.
And the next day.
And Mike Lynch. We're talking about the Banff Film Festival. Thank you, gentlemen, and I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. Why don't you give us a call on Friday, just to remind everybody, if you are thinking about doing something that is culturally rich. I mean, after watching a lot of Hot Rods, and even though that's culturally rich, too, and enjoying that, this is something that's a wonderful, a different taste that you're bringing to Reading. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, this is Carl and the Bob. We have to take a break here. At 8 o'clock in our next segment, we're going to be talking Cool April Nights with the organization's chairman.
Currently 751, 46 degrees. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR Clearly News Talk Radio.
A life.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew.
Currently 7:55 in the morning if you're just tuning in. And 46 degrees. We're taking your call, 605-4567. You got something on your mind? and you wanted to talk about, again, the tea parties or whatever it is. I know you got something on your mind.
Well, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in tobacco emporium in the North State. Espresso Joe's gives you that coffee that you want at great prices. And Joe and Shelley have a meeting room over there that they let people use just for donations. Joe and Shelley support our community in so many different ways. And Tobacco and Brew is so much more than just a tobacco emporium. Hey, what'd you think of, you know, usually you and I don't watch golf. And in fact, we didn't watch golf. But Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Okay, here you got Mickelson being the family man. His wife's going through some tough times with cancer. And here comes Mickelson. And then you have Tiger Woods, who is clearly, probably, clearly the best player that's come down the pike in a long time, having all kinds of problems in his family life. Kind of it's the good guy against the bad guy, in a way. No, I mean, that's the way people look at it. Oh, here's Mickelson, family man, and all this, and then Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods has gone through a lot to put it behind him. But they show up there for the Masters, and what a great Masters it was from everything I've heard. That that Mickelson pulls it out and wins at the end. What a great Masters.
Well, when we were watching the recaps last night, they were talked about one of the shot of the century. I guess he was in between some trees and he was able to just, what is it called, slice and dice that thing. I don't know, what did he, you know, what's it called? I'm not a golfer. What's it called when you've got, you know, something way off the greens?
It looked like he hooked it around this tree and went up over a hill where you couldn't see, and it landed on the green next to the pin. Somebody said it was probably one of the best shots ever at the Masters. And that's pretty cool. And then they've got a hole out there at the Masters that they've had a hole in one there once every 12 years.
All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jay. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're great. What's up?
You know, I just think it's funny, this whole Tiger thing. I guess I'm different than a lot of folks because I really don't care. You know, when it comes down to it, the guy's perhaps the greatest golfer anybody's ever seen. Or certainly, like you said, you know, he's dominant in his era. I you know, he's really good, and I'm glad that he seems to be fixing some things up. But it's none of my business. It's none of anybody's business. So he cheated on his wife. Lots of people do. You don't find them on the 6 o'clock news. Sure, I understand he's a role model, but why is he a role model? He's a good golfer. That doesn't mean I'm going to follow life advice from the guy.
Well, you know, Jay, there's been other people that have said the same thing. There was one of the basketball players that says, if your kids are using me as a role model, then you've made a huge mistake, because that's not what I'm here for.
Unless you're watching my jump shot, yep. Don't follow my example, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I see a lot, you know, and ordinarily, you know, we wouldn't bring anything up on something like that except the fact that It was the first tournament that Tiger has played in, you know, of course, since all of his problems, and most of which, well, of course, all of which was brought on by him, but was exasperated, of course, by the media and wanting to know everything. And at some point, it's like, you know, what difference does it make? You know everything that happened. How much more can you ask me? But he came back after not playing to finish. I think he finished fourth. And so he did a good job. But I believe you're right. At a certain point, it's his business. You know, he's not my role model. He plays golf.
But I can understand it. But I think it's more of a cultural expose than it is on Tiger. Why are we putting so much faith and role model into successful athletes? Why are we putting so much, you know, idol-type, you know, adoration their way?
Yeah. Well, hey, Jay, we've got to take a hard break here, but you're absolutely right. Why do we do that? We can talk about that later now. Okay, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Clearly News Talk Radio. And yes, it's Cool April Nights Week. And our guest,
I remember listening to this song growing up all the time.
Right. Do you remember, you know what? I remember dancing to this song at one point.
Fun, 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 till it daddy takes your demon away. I think the Carpenters did it, too.
Why would they do that? Why would anybody try to do a song that the Beach Boys did? I mean, just in my opinion. I mean, who can sing like that? I mean, this is a classic. This is like saying, let's just build another pyramid. You know, let's just all just go out and build another pyramid right now.
If you're just tuning in, it's 8:06 in the morning, currently 46 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards.
And they're playing a part out there this week, too, because we have Vicki Cook, who is the president, organizer, the chief person in charge of Cool April Nights. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us here.
Okay. Our first and biggest question is how did Cool April Nights get started, and how did you get into this?
Okay, well, that's pretty simple. Back in 1989, there were two or three car enthusiasts who had gone down to a car show, and on their way back, they said, you know, why can't Reading have a car show? And so in 1990, Cool April Nights was born. And they started out with, that was Louis Milligan and his brother Bud, and Randy Harrison got involved, and Dwayne Tomei got involved, and they all put in a little bit of money here and there and had some flyers printed. And that first year on Friday night, instead of the cruise, they decided to convoy down to Gene's Drive-In. And so they went down there for Gene's Burgers and Shakes, and that was the beginning of Cool April Nights. The next day, Saturday, at the convention center, then they were surprised to find out that 239 cars showed up.
Wow.
And what year was this?
It was 1990.
Okay.
And so they paid everybody back, their $100 here and their $100 there, and they managed to donate $150 to the Reading Police Bicycle Squad. And so that started it all, and it has just grown year after year after that. About 1994 or 5, I was working at Banner Real Estate, and Bucky Buckland was one of my partners at Banner Real Estate, and he was involved with Cool April Nights as well, and he got one of our other partners, Janet Lee, involved. And then, of course, I sat right behind Janet, and so next thing I know, I'm involved. And so it's just grown from there. And so now I've been on the board since 2000, and I became president last year. So this is my second year. And so right now we're registered close to 1,600 vehicles for this weekend.
And I am sure Dwayne Tomei is smiling from heaven because something that he loved so much, and his legacy lives on through everybody's involvement. In the whole North State is involved. And I bet you right now if you're driving on 5, you're seeing the hot rods are starting to come up.
Absolutely. And, of course, our Show and Shines community-sponsored events are going on right now. In fact, today from 1 to 5, the Rite Aid stores, all 5 of them are having a Show and Shine. So we're hoping that some of this wind dies down a little bit. But I'm sure that, you know, these guys they're used to polishing their cars every night after they come back from a Show and Shine. And a little rain doesn't hurt them. So I'm sure they'll have a good turnout at Rite Aid.
They are meant to be able to be driven in rain,
yes.
Even though that they are their babies. Yeah, yes, I know what it's like that.
I mean, they are vehicles after all. You know?
Yeah, you know, yes, the people get wet out there. The vehicles love it. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I like to talk about where, you know, we talk about just the North State, but where these vehicles come from, the amount of people that are visiting our fair city with this great event. And just a few other things like that. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. We are grooving out this week. Yeah, Cool April Nights everywhere you look. Currently 8:13, it is 46 degrees, chance of thunderstorms later, but who cares? We're still out there.
We're still showing and shining.
We're still showing and shining. I think, you know, what do they do? And our guest this morning, good morning again, once again. Welcome, Vicki Cook. And I wanted to ask you, if somebody's doing a show and shine and it's raining, what do they put, like a little, do they each have little tarps that they put over so you can still go out and see the cars? Like if you have a convertible.
Well, you don't put the top down.
Okay. I was thinking they had little, you know, just little things.
No.
Okay.
No, they basically just back into the parking spots and so they can show the car as people are walking by. But if it's a convertible, you just don't put the top down. And we all walk around with umbrellas. And
it is so cool. I'll never forget last year when you, Carl, and I, we were on Hilltop, and there was this guy sitting in front of a 64 Porsche, which is one of my favorites.
Mm.
And it was so interesting to hear this guy talk about how he found this car, how he rebuilt this car. And, you know, they're sitting there for hours. It's just a passion. And to feel the people's passion with these cars is really a trip in itself.
You know, our phone lines here are 605-4567. If you've got a question for Vicki about this week's Cool April Nights, but how many entrants do we have that come from all over the United States? Or are they mainly from California?
No, they're mainly from the West. We have had some. In fact, I just took a call from a gentleman the other day that's coming from Montana. He happens to be in California right now, but he lives in Montana. And so Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, we've had some Canadians come. Boy, did they have a good time when they were here 1 year. It was a trip watching those guys. Some from Alaska. But, you know, they're mainly the West Coast.
And how many people does Cool April Nights attract to the Reading area?
Well, let me give you a few statistics, if I may. Back in 2008, during the week of Cool April Nights, we know we filled 5,000 room nights just in the week that we were having the shows and the show on time. So
5,000 rooms.
5,000 room nights. That was in 2008. So that's one of the reasons why Cool April Nights was designed to be held in April, because it's a slow time of the year in Reading. And the people that put together Cool April Nights wanted to fill some hotel rooms and bring some money into the area and so that they could give some money back. And so they picked April. It's spotty at times. As you look outside, you can see we're not sure what our weather's going to be like, and we never know. But the first year, it was 104 degrees. Last year, I got sunburnt. So I'm hoping to do the same this year.
Now, you're wearing a jacket that says Cool April Nights. Do you change your logo every year? Is it differently, or is that the same logo? And can you get where can you get the T-shirts and the jackets?
The logos are basically the same. This is in the process of being trademarked at this point. This year, actually, I don't have the shirt on today, but this year we have the palm tree on it because our artwork is designed around Hilltop Driving, because we're cruising Reading this year. So
who would have thought?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It does make a beautiful picture, though.
Yeah.
So, and our Cool April Nights trailer, you will see it around town at all the show and shines. And, of course, we have the Cool Corner at the show itself where they sell the merchandise. And so this year we have black T-shirts. Let me tell you, that artwork really pops on those black T-shirts.
Wow.
And also black sweatshirts.
So can anybody buy them in any, like I'm saying, can we go somewhere and get them in advance? Do we have to go on that corner? Or somebody wants a Cool April Night T-shirt now, where can we get one?
I would go to the Show and Shines.
Okay.
I believe they're going to be at Napa's tomorrow. And of course, then Wednesday we'll be at the Convention Center and Cool Corner will be open. So if it had been a while back, you could have ordered it, you know, from the office. But we're in the process of moving everything down to the Convention Center right now. So we literally pick up our office and take it to the Convention Center. So.
Well, how many? So we've got Show and Shine today at all
the Rite Aid stores.
At the Rite Aid, and then tomorrow at
tomorrow, I believe there's a community sponsored event at Napa, and then there will also, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, Carl. I'll let you read it over there.
Oh, okay, since I just took it away from you.
Yeah.
Okay, on Tuesday we have at Sierra Oaks.
Yes.
And then at Kubler's Furniture.
And then up above there, you'll also notice one of our sponsors, Napa, is, I believe, having one tomorrow also on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Show and Shine, Napa Auto Parts on Churn Creek.
Where can we get the brochure?
We will have them again at the convention center starting on Wednesday, or they can call me and I'll bring them some if they'd like. We have a few thousand to hand out.
It's a beautiful brochure, by the way. Congrats on a really nice program. Again, our guest is Vicki Cook. Tell us how long it takes to prepare for this huge festival.
Well, we take a month off after the show and regroup and get a little rest, and then we start over again in June. And it takes us just about 8, 9, 10 months to plan the show because, you know, we have to go through what type of entertainment we're going to have, you know, just planning, ordering merchandise. So it takes about a year.
And tell us the entertainment again that's happening this weekend.
Excited about this new group coming up here. Thursday night is going to be Hot Rod's Band. They're out of the Bay Area. I shouldn't say this, but a bunch of older rock and rollers like the rest of us.
Yeehaw.
Here. With the exception of you, Linda, of course. I know you don't fit into that group.
Yes,
and, and then Friday night.
I get ARP.
Yeah. We will have Double Take, and they are two twins with their four or five band members that come up with them, and actually they grew up here. And then they moved away, and they come back and see us every other year or so. And they're wonderful. They put on a great sock hop. It just fills the tent, and everybody likes to get out there and dance and do the stroll. And you remember that, Carl?
Oh, I remember the stroll. In fact, I think one of the last big get-togethers we had, where there was a band, we all were strolling. That, you know,
that was so much fun. The Lou White Band.
Yeah.
Lou does that. That's true. He does.
And you've got, on Saturday, the 17th, gosh, you know, like I said, Double Take and Enterprise Starship and Kids Unlimited. You've got it all. That's going to be down. And that's all on Saturday. And on Sunday, there's breakfasts, the car crowd, more music.
Exactly. And then the award ceremony is on Saturday, too. The community gets so involved in this that the schedule just kind of gets overwhelming when you look at all of the different show and shines. But officially, our show starts Wednesday night and then Thursday night. And then Friday, we have a lot of activities at the convention center. And then, of course, Saturday itself is the show. And so we try to keep everybody happy and keep them busy that day. And then, of course, after the show, everybody wants to go out and grab something to eat and then come back and dance some more. So we have to have a concert Saturday night. Saturday during the show, there's a lot of award winners picked. And so then Sunday morning, they all come back. And then we do a really beautiful display in a kind of a semi-cruise over the top of the convention center where they receive their awards. And then we also have a car corral. So, Carl, if you want to buy a classic car, come on down and see us on Sunday. I know you drive a motorcycle, don't you? But
that's right, and it's a classic. It's a Harley.
But I've always wanted one of those 64 Corvettes, you know, the kind that's got the little pocket in the side. Yeah, that's mine.
We'll see if we can have one there for you Sunday.
Oh, please don't. Hey, we've got to take a break. Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Vicki Cook, the president of Cool April Nights, and we're talking about Cool April Nights, and we're going to be talking about Cool April Nights all week. We're going to have somebody here, I believe, every day to talk about what's going on that day, things that you don't want to miss, and other parts of it. Join us after these messages.
Where do you go when...
Good morning, Redding! Love it.
So Bad Bob gets going here in the mornings, you know.
We do air. You know what? You guys get an A for air guitar. All right? Oh, good morning. It's the 12th of April this morning. 47 degrees out, currently 825. The weather's always brought to you by Ensamo Vineyards. Earlier, I was talking about a 64 Corvette. I was just a few years off because I went online. I don't know where I got a little 64. It's a 59. That's my favorite car. Never driven one. I love the looks of it. It's been embedded in my head. Like
it's
if somebody said
Route 66.
Yeah,
right. It's got the white dash on the side, and I would take a blue or a red. Those I think they're beautiful.
Anybody's got one for sale, it's 605-4567, and tell us how much. Wait a minute, somebody call and tell us how much one of those is worth.
I wonder how they do.
How much is one of those worth?
Well, you know, I could look it up, but anyway. So our guest today, good morning, and if you're just tuning in, our guest today is Vicki Cook, who's the president of Cool April Nights. As you know, it is the week we kick off a whole week of wonderful show and shines. If you are in the cars, man, you are hanging out in the right place right now.
You know, one of the big things, of course, occurs Friday night when everybody who is anybody comes on and drives their vehicle around Reading.
Assuming that they're registered, yes.
They're registered. Right. You can't just jump into it.
No.
The cruise.
You have to register for the show, and when you register for the show, then you get your pass to get into the cruise. Perhaps it would help a little bit if I explained how we all handle this and are able to accomplish putting on Cool April Nights every year. Right now we have a board of directors of 8. And we all have our own individual responsibilities. We're a little short of directors, and we will be looking for some people to help us next year. But, like, for instance, my job is to take care of the commercial vendors. And so I make sure that we have things for sale at the show, so our commercial vendors come in from all over the place. And I think Howard's going to come in and visit with you on Friday, and he's our cruise director. And then we have an awards director, as Chuck Creason, and Barbara Harrison, who is going to come in and talk to you tomorrow, is in charge of the inside show, and those vehicles never touch the road. Those come up in trailers, and they are beautiful. Some of the most gorgeous cars I've ever seen. Carl, if you want to look in the centerfold of that program right there, you'll see some of the objects of what we're going to have this year. They're fabulous. Yes.
You know what? I'm all for centerfolds.
Yeah.
And here they are.
Eight of the hottest
vehicles that I've seen in a long time.
She will have actually 26 sitting in the center, in the inside convention center, and they're all beautifully displayed and lit, and they all sit on carpet, and it's fabulous.
If you want to see that 1969 Chevy Camaro,
yes,
which, by the way, is one of my favorite cars, mm-hmm. It's there, the 32 Ford Roadster and 1941 Willys Coupe. You know, this is so much fun.
Hey, Vicki, I have a question for you regarding, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners might be thinking the same thing. You know, you always think, I don't know, it's not sexist when I say this, but, you know, men and cars and guys doing the car thing in the garage. How many females, kind of ish, and, you know, that do actually get into building hot rods and come to the show?
Amazingly enough, the women are right there with the guys, I guess, is whether they'd actually do the work themselves or a guy would. In this case, probably not as many, but the women are really into this as well. Linda, this is a trip down memory lane for us. Probably not you because you're too young, but I don't know about Carl.
You flatter me, but anyway.
It is a trip down memory lane for all of us. Those were good times for us when we were in high school, and we remember them fondly, and that's why these classic car shows are so popular, because they were good times. They were good times, and we want to relive them.
You know, it's funny.
Times of innocence.
Yeah. You know, we've got like 30 seconds before a break here. But it
making
is,
out in
you
the backseat.
Vicki,
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, that's about all you did. Isn't that nice? That's nice. Okay, you guys, I think I shocked y'all. I didn't mean to, but...
Well, you know, it's now we're down to 20 seconds. The only thing I can say is that after we take this break, we're going to talk more Cool April Nights. We're going to talk about, you know, about the vehicles and about the people. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and DeBott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Finest walk-in tobacco emporium in the North State. Espresso Joe's, get that coffee. I know they've got some things going on, some specials running this week for Cool April Nights, especially during a cruise night.
I'm sure that's true, Carl.
Yeah, because, well, you know.
He's right on Hilltop.
He's right on Hilltop. I think they've got a package deal there about some parking and chow and everything on Watch the Cruising. Now.
The time is 8:35, and it's currently 47 degrees if you're just tuning in now. 605-4567. We're taking your calls. Our guest this morning, the president of Cool April Nights, our official launch today is Vicki Cook. Welcome back, Vicki.
Thank you.
And we need to know, do you have a website for those who might be able to click and get online and find out what's happening with the program of the week's festivities.
Absolutely. And that website is www.coolaprilnights.com. That's spelled with a K and not a C. It's KOOLAPRILNITES.com. So
NITES.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool and that's easy.
I want to know, can I drag my car up and down Hilltop? Can we race up and down till we can't?
Well, you can if you want to get a ticket.
No, okay. Yeah. They're not kind of excusing those little things?
No. One of the things that we do not allow is any peeling of any tires or anything like that, mainly because those vehicles are very expensive and there are upwards of 10,000 people standing around the cruise route, and we don't want anybody to get hurt. And this is really a cruise. It's not a parade. It's an official cruise, if you remember those days.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Okay, here's I grew up, you know, all over the United States, but my last year was in Yakima, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And Yakima, Washington, on Friday and Saturday nights, you get your car, and you start at the freezer at one end of the main street there.
Is that like a big boy or a
No, it was
frosty?
A small. It was small. It'd be more like jeans. It'd be kind of like jeans drive-in. Yeah. And you start there, and you take it all the way down the road, mm-hmm. probably 2 miles at least, down to the YMCA. You make the turn in the parking lot, come back up. And then when you'd hit Central, you'd take a left. And then you'd go down about half a mile, three-quarters mile, to Mel's Drive-In. Either Mel's or Merle's. Maybe it was Merle's Drive-In. You'd pull into there. And they had car hops back then. And then you'd stop there. Or what you'd be hearing is people just going through the parking lot, you know, squealing their tires, revving their engines, back up on to Central, down to Main, and you make that left. And it was Friday and Saturday nights. I mean, if you ever saw the movie American Graffiti, that's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all have memories like that. I know we used to drag Main, what we'd say, drag in Main. You know, I'd stop in the gas station, put a gallon of gas in it, and drag Main all night long, but you can't do that anymore.
So much fun. Well, here's a chance to relive those memories and you know, probably a real commonality and be able to talk car talk and memories this whole week.
Well, you know, it's illegal to cruise.
What's one of your favorite memories of past Cool April Nights?
Oh, golly, there's so many. It's I don't know. I guess it's just the fun. You know, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of coordinating and a lot of planning. But when you get people who come in from Washington and Oregon and they go through snow and hail and everything else to get here, and then they get a sunburn, you know, before they go home, and as they leave, they all say, you know, thank you so much. We had a great time. It's a wonderful show. We love coming here, you know, and they come year after year after year. I guess that's what makes it all worthwhile, and that's probably the best memory we could all have is just knowing that we gave them something that they enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then when it's all said and done and we have a little money left over, then we get to give it back to the kids in our community, and that's one of our missions.
Great. You get to feed the community, put it back, and that's really wonderful. And you were telling me before that some people, this is such a great way of somebody's, you know, that very passionate about, it's their hobby, that some of these paint jobs that people have done with their cars, I mean, you know, it's like their garages are carpeted.
Absolutely.
And the paint jobs are amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing how much it's gotten to, how much it costs now to remodel a car or to bring back a car from those days. Of course, most of those colors are not available anymore, so and everybody wants to modernize the colors, and the paint jobs are expensive. They can be $20,000 for a paint job, and then they put in new upholstery, roll and tuck, and you know, the beautiful, beautiful upholstery in these things. It's incredible. It's incredible when you see what these guys do with these cars and how many years it takes them to do that. I mean, that has to be a passion. It just has to be a passion that you would dedicate that much time to it.
Well, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we still haven't found out how much a 59 Corvette cost. It doesn't have to be in completely great condition.
605-4567. just picking your brain this morning here on KCNR 1460.
The other thing I want to find out is, you know, when we grew up, cruising was fine. Why is it illegal now in so many places? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
And from out.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. And if you haven't guessed it, it's Cool April Nights Week. And we are going to be rocking all week talking about Cool April Nights.
Smiling while we're doing it.
Smiling while we're doing it. And okay, this is not a radio. It's not radio, the kind of radio that we do. But we're going to be talking about community events. And you know what? How can you not listen to the Beach Boys and bring back some memories for those of you that are, you know, over the age of 45.
It's currently 8:44 if you're just tuning in. 8:44, and it's 46 degrees out. It's, you know, showers today, thunderstorms after 11. And, you know, how can you not smile? The Cool April Nights, we just found out, brings in will fill 5,000 hotel rooms. So here's a wonderful way to have a great time. Community is enriched by it, and it's also when after everything's said and done, money goes back. And our guest today is Vicki Cook, and we have somebody on the line too. But the money goes back. The fundraiser this year is for.
We will determine that after the show is over. We are right now taking proposals from different individuals who are requesting. They have to be a 501c3 since we're a nonprofit. We can only give to a nonprofit, and so we have several proposals on the table, but the more kids we can touch, the better we like it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the phones. Bob, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Vicki.
Morning, hi. Bob.
Morning. Up the cruise, and I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, Van Nuys, and they had the cruise night here Wednesday night, Van Nuys Boulevard, and that was even listed back then as a sight to see from the Visitors Bureau, the cruise night. And, you know, it was shut down because of vandalism and crime and drugs and everything.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That's such a shame, you know, because, Bob, you know, we would cruise up and down. You could spend the whole evening there. You know, it didn't cost a lot of money. Of course, gas back then didn't cost very much. And it was a way of seeing, you know, your friends, seeing the cars and everything. And, you know, I don't ever recollect any huge problems. But then again, this was, 43 years ago?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, right. You're right, Bob. Let's don't talk about
I was,
that.
I was 4 years old. I used to ride in a baby seat.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Hey, Bob, what were you cruising in?
I had a, well, just a couple cars, but the main one was I had a 61 Ford Falcon that we put a 289 in and a straight axle, front straight axle. So it was different.
I bet you it made some noise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I ripped engine mounts out of it, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we go through Big Bob's Big Boy and then up to McDonald's. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was good times, yeah.
Yeah, it is good. It was good times. So what are you driving now, Bob?
I had an F-150, F-100, which I sold recently, but now I just have a F-350 and a Harley and...
We got a Harley.
Well, you know,
Carl.
You got the Harleys, though, you know. And that's what we talked about, one, too, is we need to bring up, you know, we've got, I guess, Big Bike Weekend. Maybe we need to take a look at maybe having a 4- or 5-day event with motorcycles. That's
let's have a Sturgis on the West Coast.
Yeah, we have a Sturgis West. Little Sturgis.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Bob, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet. You
bye.
Too.
Bye.
Hey, do you guys mind if I read this quick? In the program, there's this beautiful poem that talks about volunteerism, and I just think it's so, what's the word?
Appropriate.
Yeah, it's appropriate because of the fact that after we've had a wonderful week and people have, you know, spent money and enjoyed themselves, and we know that the monies are going to go towards a charity that is chosen that's going to go for children. But this is a wonderful poem, and the author's anonymous. It goes like this. Many will be shocked to find when the day of judgment nears that there's a special place in heaven set aside for volunteers, furnished with big recliners, satin couches, and footstools, where there's no committee chairman, no group leaders or carpools, no eager team that needs a coach, no bazaar and no bake sale. There will be nothing to staple, no one thing to fold or mail. Telephone lists will be outlawed, but a finger snap will bring cold drinks and gourmet dinners and a treats fit for a king. You ask, who'll serve these privileged few and work for all their worth? Why, all those who reap the benefits and not once volunteered on earth.
Well, you know, it's volunteerism.
Yeah.
It's what set this country aside. I mean, people here do a lot of things for a lot of people for no pay. And that's great.
That's really true. We actually have 500 volunteers that help us put the show on. We have parking people, registration people, 500 volunteers. I mean, it's astounding how big this show has become in just 20 years. I mean, this is our 21st year, 21st show.
Wow.
Well, congratulations, Vicki, and we look forward to other local business people who have worked so hard to keep the dream. Dwayne and some of the others, the beginning of this 21 years ago, to keep the dream alive and have a place where people can come and enjoy and give back, and that's what it's all about.
Good family fun.
Yeah, we're going to have, like I said, we're going to have people from Cool April Nights on during this week. We're going to talk about the different events. Vicki, any last thoughts here, any last words here before you move on with your day of getting the rest of this organized?
No, just to tell everybody, though, make sure that you mark your spot down around the cruise route, and you have to be inside the cruise route by 6:30 because that's when we're going to close it off. So people start marking their spots about 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, and it'll be wall-to-wall people.
It's going to be great.
It'll be fun.
Okay.
Thank
you.
All
right. Well, thank you very much. Vicki Cook, who's president of the Cool April Nights. And what a great event they put on. This their 21st year. Carl and Nabot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. We're going to be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, it's about our last 6 minutes here, Linda. You know, tomorrow we're going to have Barbara Harrison will be on for a little bit to talk, again, some Cool April Nights facts. But 8 o'clock, we're having Greg Mann on. Greg Mann, who's going to be on tomorrow. We're going to be talking about tea parties and the events they've got coming up. We're also going to have Aaron Ryan, who's the – we have, as you know, two different tea party groups here in town. And so we're going to have Greg on tomorrow and Aaron later on this week so we can discuss all the events they have coming up here in the near future. There are so many events and so much going on with the tea parties because they've got and this is what I really, really urge you all to think about, is attending the events that have the candidates that are running for offices, if nothing else, to hear what those candidates think, to hear what they stand for, to ask them questions, to really find out how are they going to represent us. Now, you know, on the 23rd, we're having our on-the-air live debate with Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his challenger, Steve Carlton. That's going to be for an hour and a half. That's right, an hour and a half debate with no commercial interruptions except at the top of the hour and at the half hour. That's to give everybody a chance to get a drink of water and get back into the fight. It's going to be it should be really interesting, and we're looking for your questions. So,
you know, I was just talking about the, you know, in the tea party, you know, before, after it, Sunday's paper ran a whole section, not just,
yeah,
I mean, the whole section was,
yeah,
about
whole front
it
page.
And so I've just kind of been browsing through some of the comments. And it's interesting how, I suppose for some people, if you even attend a tea party, you're considered a right-wing extremist.
Racist.
And I just think that that's, you know, a shame because if you attend a meeting or you hold a meeting or you go to any kind of meeting a couple times, it's almost like, okay, I want to go somewhere where I'm informed, maybe outside of City Hall or outside of another kind of meeting. Doesn't mean that you're radical, but according to many of the comments that I'm reading, you're a radical right winger, and
most of the people,
many of the people, stone throwing.
Well, that many of the people that write on those the commenters are, you know, the same people. There's 25 of them, and you know, and they are, you know, and they're liberal, and this is their way. They have no power, and this is their way of expressing themselves. And you know, and in some cases, and in some cases, and people in the Tea Party will tell you the same thing, is in some cases there are extremists within the Tea Party. I mean, let's be serious about it. How can you hold a sign up that's got a lynching of the president and not say that person is an extremist? And he is. Or, you know, are you calling them, you know, Nazi? Even though that the same thing was done with Bush. Of course, back then, the people doing that probably weren't extremists. They were, you know, somebody else. But that was on the left side. But people conveniently, both sides, conveniently forget what happened, you know, last year. And in some cases, last month. And in some more cases, last week. The thing that you're saying, Linda, and I completely agree with you, is you can't just get your information from the newspaper, and you sure as hell can't get it from the radio stations. You've got to go out and look for yourself. You have got to research it. Yeah, you can get some ideas, but when you get right down to it, there's, you know, people have agendas. You know, we here try to be as fair as we can, but yet, you know, I am conservative about many things, as and not as, you know, and you're not as conservative, but we try to be as fair as we can. We try to have both sides on here, and we try to make sure both sides get a fair reading from the people right here. But you need to go out and get involved again. And it doesn't mean a Tea Party get involved. It just means get involved in the election process. How can you vote for somebody without knowing what they stand for? And this includes our incumbents. David Kehoe is running for Shasta County District Supervisor for District 1. Nobody's running against David. But David needs to come out and say, this is what I stand for, this is what I've done, this is where I plan to go the next 4 years. You know, anybody that's running, anybody that's going to be, you know, an incumbent, like Tom Basenko, Tom's going to come on the show, and he'll tell us what where he thinks it's going in the next 4 years. Nobody's running against Tom, but Tom wants the people to understand where he's at and where he's going. So I applaud anybody that tries to get involved in politics. You may not agree with, you know, the fact that, yes, they are conservative, but they are getting involved, and they're not doing it from behind a computer keyboard. Some of the things you read in there are very, you know, some of your comments are very good. Some of them are just hatred. And it does nobody any good. But the big thing is just get involved. Don't believe everything you read or hear. Unless, you know, most of it from here, it's okay.
I think people like, in politics, it's just typical, the mudslinging. The mudslinging has begun, and you know, we're coming up on the April 15th, you know, last year with the bridge. We're going to do that again this year.
And it's big.
There'll be thousands of people outpouring.
We've got a lot of things going on.
Don't let this one side against the other side fool you.
That's it.
We're all in this together.
And you know what? It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Weddings.